nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Do you want to answer the first one? Why do you care about correlation in defect generation?
Because you will lead to the heart.
And also the second and third one, if it's correlated, the lifetime enhancement will not be as long. What does time correlation compare? What time correlation compare with spatial correlation? Let's say you have spatial correlation. Does it automatically imply time correlation? It's a little trick question, but yeah.
I think yes, but I'm not able to explain.
Anyone wants, Arun, you want to say? Let's say things are happening close by. Does it imply that things will be happening a little faster?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Why? Why not necessarily?
So we have a regulation plan.
Right, right.
And spatial correlation says, the chances that another percolation pass happens right next to the first one is high.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the first one can accelerate
The rate of it. So the answer is generally right. But you can just also answer it this way. Think about this way also. I think there will be some effect. The only way the second one will know that the first something has happened, how would it know? It is know by change in the local potential, or the hole generated by the first one has changed the neighborhood of that the second one, so that then the second one is getting generated close by, right? So that knowledge implies that there has to be some time crunching associated with it also. So in general, you are right that in principle, it doesn't have to be. In a computer, you can keep it uncorrelated. But physics-wise, I feel that anytime it's happening something close by, it knows. And when it knows, that means something has changed. Things have been a little bit faster. Okay? Do you expect robust Weibull slope if the defect generation rate is correlated? Who can answer that question?
It means by robust is high?
No. By robust, I mean 2 beta. 1 beta, then 2 beta, 3 beta, when it's uncorrelated, we said that it's going to go in that sequence.
Yes.
Let's say you have a little bit of correlation. And in that case, will the slope be different or will the slope be the same? That's different? The answer is not really. And so can you write down to make sure that that's the homework? And look at that plot, because you will see, although when you have eta, it changes the mean time. But when you look at the long time slope, it is again beta, 2 beta, 3 beta. Slope remains unchanged, but the eta shifts because of the correlation. This is not obvious. That's why I asked you this question. Can you explain physically how a single device allows us to calculate the Weibull slope? Why? I mean, I showed you, right? IDDQ, single device, look at the leakage current. How does it do so? Can you explain physically? Who wants to do that? Kevin, you want to try? Remember, I took a big IC and just look at the total leakage current rather than... It's summing up. Yeah, go ahead. Want to try this?
Basically, think about it. When you're calculating IDDQ, it's essentially the sum of all the breakdowns. And so essentially what happens in one device, it will be correlated.
So you see, you think about it. Assume that you have 100 devices getting tested. Now, individually, when you look at the current, then of course we think about them as individual devices. But somebody could come and say, oh no, that's the whole thing is one device. When the first breakdown happened, it gave you one I naught. The second breakdown happened on the I naught. So instead of looking in individual jump, he could have a spreadsheet running, which will just sum up the current. And every time there is a jump, it will be reflected in the total leakage. Every time the second jump occurs, it will be reflected in that one. So the total leakage is sort of a poor man's way of doing 100 experiments. Because they are...
So it's essentially like the area scaling that you're talking
about. Exactly. Exactly like area scaling. Exactly like area scaling.
And this also... In HCI, it is the I sub that we estimate.
The position of the breakdown spot was analyzed by 1D differential equation. What's wrong with this analysis?
Yeah, near the source and drain, we didn't consider the drift component.
No, no. But let's say you have, when it's diffusion, then it's purely diffusion. Yeah, that's one assumption. But in a, you know, when you are in inversion, this is pure drift. There's nothing else. When you're in accumulation, it's pure diffusion. So that's not the problem. The problem is in right in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
The 2D aspect of it. And it is not at all obvious that why the 1D worked out. But the 1D is always the right answer for two-dimensional. Remember, heat diffusion is the same way. Electron diffusion, drift, all these equations are the same way. And the answer is always correct. That in 1D and 2D, you have this correlation. What does IDDQ?
Regarding this, like,
could
there be 3D effects, like, because of
Inversion, I would say it's a 2D.
Yeah, because, like, it will also depend on
the lineup of the
effects.
The lineup of the effects and things like that. So,
As far as we are concerned, the defects don't no longer matter anymore. It is the question is in the inversion sheet of charges, where you are sort of injecting the current. All these how thick the oxide was, where the oxide was, how the break, none of this matters because everything has been ratioed out. All those are gone. Yeah, but even if it's thick, whatever current comes in, so long it doesn't change the potential. IDDQ, so the Q refers for quiescent current. You cannot make this measurement when the IC is running. You have to let the car settle down and always do differential. Times equals zero. And in fact, in modern days, that's how it is done. All the ICs, you just measure the leakage current and you'll see NBTI T to the power 1/6 leakage current going in because of the threshold voltage. If the breakdown is a problem, then it will show you increase in the current. NBTI gives you reduction in the current because VT goes up. So if you just monitor IDDQ, the current will be keep going. You don't have to go in inside and try to make any physics of the transistor. I answered that already. Yeah.
So in the IDDQ, so when you're doing it, so are you assuming that the source and drain are grounded when you're measuring the IDDQ?
No.
So there can be any other leakage mechanisms?
All, everything. But remember, that's what I said, differential. You measure one when you have not used the transistor, when you bought it, and then you plot the delta. So any variation that you have in the background due to source drain leakage, due to gate leakage, and all taken out. This is only due to degradation.
So how can you expect an increase in IDDQ in a continuous way or
not
decrease in a continuous way?
NBTI and hot carrier increases the threshold voltage.
Okay.
Anytime you have increase in the threshold voltage, your current goes down. So therefore, this will, from universal curve you can get from IDDQ just by looking at one ground pin, T to the power 1/6. But there is a little trick how to get this, but TDDP, current increases.
Yeah.
And that is how you know from one IC that which one is really causing problem. Does it make sense?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.